SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Yura Damarang, hello. I'm your host, Luana Grant, executive producer of NITV Radio. I'll be your host for this special episode of The Australia Explained. Australia has a dark chapter of history that many are still learning about. Following European settlement, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children were systematically removed from their families and forced into non-Indigenous society. The trauma and abuse they experienced left deep scars. This pain is still felt today, echoing through the generations. But communities are creating positive change. Today, these people are recognised as survivors of the stolen generations. Before we begin, a content warning. This episode contains distressing material, including references to trauma, removal of children, and mentions of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people who have passed away. Please take care while listening. From 1910 until as recently as the 1970s, thousands of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children were forcibly removed from their families, communities, and country. Under government policies of the time, these children were placed into institutions or with non-Indigenous families, often through the involvement of churches, welfare agencies, and government bodies. The claim was that First Nations children would have better lives if they were raised within white society. Shannon Dodson is a Yawuru woman and CEO of the Healing Foundation, a national Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander organisation addressing the trauma of forced removal.
What was heartbreaking about the Stolen Generations was that it was tens of thousands of children that were removed, and mostly for the sole reason of wanting to assimilate them into non-Aboriginal culture. And it really was about separating them from their families, culture, communities, language. Many of those children suffered abuse and many of them never saw their families again.
Children were specifically targeted because they were more likely to accept what they were told and reject their culture.
We have heard stories of families being told that either one of them have passed or that the children were told that their families didn't want them. And it was a very distressing period that ran over decades for many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander families.
Due to limited and inconsistent record keeping, it's difficult to determine exactly how many children were removed. However, estimates suggest that up to 1 in 3 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children were taken from their families. What is certain is that every Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community was deeply affected, and the scars remain. Many stolen children were taken to state and church-led institutions across the country, as Ms. Dodson explains.
They were often referred to as dormitories or training centres. There were very strict rules around what the children could and couldn't do. These practices were happening sometimes from birth up to children that were in their teenage years.
Siblings were often separated and some institutions housed only babies. The devastating impact to the children extended to their families and communities. Auntie Lorraine Peters is a Gamilaroi and Wallywun woman who in 1943, at 4 years old, was forced to join hundreds of girls at the Cootamundra Domestic Training Home for Aboriginal Girls in New South Wales. Her two brothers went to the notorious Kinchala Aboriginal Boys Training Home. On arrival, Auntie Lorraine was stripped of her identity. She says the girls were given a bed, a job, and a religion.
Punishment was automatic if you forgot to be white. Our mantra in there was to be white, speak white, dress white, and act white, until it was brainwashed into our head that black was bad. We couldn't even talk about being an Aboriginal person. And you take that as a four-year-old being brainwashed. You soon forgot Aboriginal ways and learnt white ways. The punishment was horrific in those places.
For the next 10 years, Auntie Lorraine was trained as a domestic servant for white families. Today, she is a strong voice for survivors and the founder of the Marumali Program, a healing initiative tailored to the needs of those who experienced forced removal. Without this kind of support, trauma continues to cycle through the generations. Auntie Lorraine says there are young people today who don't know who they are, where they come from, or why they behave the way they do.
It's a vicious cycle. If we don't break it in our families, it'll keep going. But imagine the ones, the survivors, that don't have that support and don't have the right direction to help their little people, you know?
Due to the historical lack of support systems, trauma has often unknowingly passed on to children as they witness the pain experienced by their parents and grandparents. It is known as intergenerational trauma, Shannon Dodson explains.
We've had survivors talk about their own children because they didn't grow up in a loving environment. They didn't receive the support from parents that often children will have. They found it quite difficult to parent themselves. Some survivors have admitted that due to the trauma that they've experienced, they've sadly passed on that trauma to children of their own. And we see that cycle then repeating to grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and that's why we refer to it as intergenerational.
The symptoms of intergenerational trauma are evident in high rates of family breakdown, violence, incarceration, suicide, and drug and alcohol abuse. Communities are now working to end the cycle of trauma through healing.
I think healing is something that looks different to different people, but we do know that survivors need to self-determine what that healing looks like for themselves. And a lot of it has to do with a sense of belonging, connection, and truth and education.
Healing means rebuilding family structures and strong communities. It also means rebuilding a sense of identity and pride.
Looking at the connection to culture and connection back to country and language has also been a really big healing aspect for many survivors and their families to have that sense of belonging and identity. I think many of your listeners would understand how important it is to feel like you are connected to somewhere and to be able to have that sense of belonging with a community of people. It can be really healing.
Survivors also express their need to share their experiences and to be able to speak freely about historical injustices. The Kuta Girls Aboriginal Corporation was founded in 2013 by former residents of Kuta Girls Home with the aim of addressing the complex healing needs of stolen generation survivors and their families. Auntie Lorraine works with other survivors from the home. She says if you've been hurt as a collective, you will heal as a collective. And Kuta women love coming together.
In circles and gatherings, you are creating the healing to happen right there because that's all they want is each other. They talk about, they heal from it by just yarning, sharing, and the more they do that, they're not forgotten. And Kuta continues to fund those gatherings, you know, so that we can come together and remember and grieve for the ones that have passed on.
Auntie Lorraine says other aspects of healing is education, ensuring all Australians understand the historical injustices that occurred.
The other side, like non-Aboriginal people, I would love to see them give their children a chance to learn the true history of this country and to dismantle systems, dismantle them and start again, because the policies that are written about our mob are really racist-based.
In a watershed moment in 2008, the then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd issued the long-awaited apology to the stolen generations, their descendants and their families. What has followed are several initiatives and developments, including the establishment of the Healing Foundation. CEO Shannon Dodson again.
Our organisation is really advocating for a national healing package, ensuring that that remaining justice that needs to be seen for stolen generation survivors happens before, sadly, any more survivors pass away.
The Healing Foundation also calls for trauma-informed aged care and support for Stolen Generation support services to ensure that intergenerational healing can continue. True healing also requires all Australians as a whole to listen and help survivors to reclaim their stories. Thank you for listening to this episode of Australia Explained, written and produced by Melissa Compagnoni and Rachel Knowles. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Germian, and I'm Luana Grant. Until next time.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.
Subscribe or follow the Australia Explained podcast for more valuable information and tips about settling into your new life in Australia. Do you have any questions or topic ideas? Send us an email to australiaexplained@sbs.com.au.